Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
Okay, so let's just go back to a story that literally came up in the last 3 or 4 minutes of yesterday's show. The president was speaking before a group of code talkers yesterday in the White House. They were there for a ceremony honoring them. By the way, you haven't heard who these people really were or much about their story. Here is who the code talkers are.
Today, we have with us 3 of the 13 surviving Navajo code talkers of World War II. First, we have Fleming Begay. Fleming Begay is 97 years old. He survived the Battle of Tarawa. His landing craft was blown up, and he literally had to swim to the beach to survive. Also, on Saipan, he also landed on Tinian, where he got shot up real badly, survived 1 year in Naval Hospital. We have Thomas Begay, one of the code talkers who were on Iwo Jima. As if Marine Corps was not enough, he enlisted to be United States Army, served in the Korean War, survived that awful battle at Khosin. My name is Peter McDonald. I'm the president of the 13 surviving Navajo code talkers. I went in. I'm 90 years old. I went in when I was 15 years old in early 1944.
He and the rest of them demonstrated a real love of country and said as much. They also sort of announced themselves as supporters of the presidency and of this president. They were, I think it's important to note, thrilled to be there. When we first heard the sound clip yesterday, we thought that maybe the president was using them as some sort of unwitting prop. We had only heard 5 seconds of it all, and so I thought, really, what was this scene? And there you have a little more context. And then he went on to talk a little bit about what they did in World War II. This is part of that.
On the island of Iwo, the first 48 hours of battle, over 800 messages were sent. Major Connor also said, without Navajo, Marines would never have taken the island of Iwo Jima.
It's an amazing story that we'll all find out more about in the future, in fact, in just a couple of minutes. Then the president took the microphone, and this is what he had to say.
You're very, very special people. You were here long before any of us were here. Although we have a representative in Congress who they say was here a long time ago. They call her Pocahontas. But you know what? I like you because you are special. You are special people. You are really incredible people.
President went on and talked a little while. General Kelly did as well. In our studio is Heather Miller. She's the executive director of the American Indian Center. It's located here in Chicago. Hi, Heather. Welcome to the studio.
Hi. How's it going?
It is going well. I'm doing fine. I appreciate your being here. You are from Florida originally, right?
Correct.
Got your bachelor's degree. We were talking off the air about this in Oklahoma?
In Ohio, actually. Miami of Ohio.
Oh, that's right. But you, but kind of give me your sort of story. You are Native American, correct?
I am, correct. So I'm an enrolled member of the Wyandotte Nation from Oklahoma. I grew up off my reservation, so I really connect well with other urban Indians here in Chicago. Just I have that background. So I am really happy to be representing the American Indian Center here today.
And your nation is Wyandotte?
That's correct, Wyandotte.
How many different nations or tribes are there in the United States?
Currently, there's about 562 federally recognized tribes.
Really?
Correct.
Do they all have their own language?
Yes, they do.
So the idea then that the Navajo, for instance, would be code talkers in World War II means that was it exclusively the Navajo language then that was being used?
Correct, yes. So, for example, what would happen is the Navajo soldiers would go out and they would inform the soldiers and give them instructions in their language. So one thing that I also just want to point out really quickly is that the Navajo traditionally call themselves Diné. That's the that is the word for themselves. That's how they identify. So I will also probably refer to them as Diné, and just so you guys have an idea of what that means.
Do you care about the use of the word Indian and Native American?
I don't care. I think that they're both perfectly acceptable terms, and most folks today would interchange both of those terms.
Most folks, meaning most Indians,
most
in
Indians.
The United States.
Mm-hmm.
We fall all over ourselves with these words and phrases these days, so I appreciate you saying that. And then the way it would work would be they would literally radio the instructions in Navajo without using a code within the code. They would just speak fluent Navajo one to the other, and then that guy would translate to the whoever the general was or the person in charge of the troop movements.
Correct. So, for example, when they wanted to send a tank out onto the field, they would say, in their language, send the turtle out to the field. The reason that they did this is because the turtle looks somewhat like a tank. So that was their way of interpreting these words and phrases that aren't necessarily a Diné word or a Navajo word.
Well, there probably wasn't a word for tank.
No, there wasn't.
In Navajo. But I would imagine the Japanese hearing that enough would figure it out, but it was evidently a complicated enough language or foreign enough to the Japanese that even though turtle means tank, they didn't know what was going on.
Correct. It was really quite ingenious.
Yeah. So these guys are there then at a ceremony honoring them. What was your reaction to the president's use of the word Pocahontas yesterday?
So I'd just like to talk a little bit about the history of Pocahontas and why she's important to Native folks first, just to set that context. So Pocahontas was an Indian girl from a Virginia tribe. And when she first came in contact with the Europeans, Disney has said that she saved John Smith and that he went on to help the Pilgrims and the Indians. And
John Smith was going to have his head cut off. She put her head down on top of his and said it's all, both or neither. That's not true.
That's not necessarily true. She did interact with John Smith. She did have some sort of relationship with him, but what is most important from her story is that she was actually kidnapped by Europeans when she was about 10 years old. She was taken to Europe and she was Christianized. She was forced to forget her native heritage. She was forced to forget her language. She was forced to speak English. And so she actually had lots of terrible events happen to her. And so we don't necessarily talk about that history of Pocahontas and what she actually went through.
So she's this unwilling conscript of the Europeans. So go back to Pocahontas then. What does that word mean to American Indians?
So when I think of this girl, and she really was a girl, she was young when all of this happened to her, I think of just an incredibly brave person who experienced a lot of trauma in her life, and yet still maintain some relationships and friendships with Europeans and still tried to make good for her tribe.
The president has long said, though, that Senator Warren has been inappropriately using her Native American background for political gain. Do you know much about that?
So what I know is what I read in the papers and what I hear on the news. And as Elizabeth Warren talks about it, she has said that members of her family have told her that she is of Native American heritage and she does have some connection to a tribe. I've never seen what tribe or heard any other Native Americans claim her as a member of their nation. So I'm just going by what she has said.
Okay, let's assume that her story is true just for a moment. Maybe that doesn't even matter based on what I'm about to ask you. The president doesn't buy it, and he's calling her out. Is it inappropriate to use the word Pocahontas in that context?
It absolutely is. Pocahontas should be recognized as the woman that she truly was, and so by forcing this history onto her and by forcing this stereotype and this image onto Elizabeth Warren is doing damage to the woman that we Native Americans claim and recognize as a really important person in our history.
Well, do you all banty the word Pocahontas around in some other context?
No, we would not do that. We
you
would not
say, hey,
call,
Pocahontas, no, or she's a real Pocahontas.
We would not say that, no.
But if it were, then you, in your estimation, if I were going to use it accurately, it would be, wow, what a brave person, if there was any context to the use of that word. But the president offers it as fraud, that she's a Pocahontas. Oh, no, she's not. I don't know what else to ask you about that, except that when the White House press spokesperson was asked about that, she said that it is not a slur. Would you define it as a slur?
I would, because he's taking it out of context. He's trying to bash Senator Warren and trying to make fun of her. And so by making fun of her in that way and taking that word out of context, I do see it as a slur. He's not appropriately recognizing the contribution that Pocahontas made to this country.
This all sounds so silly, doesn't it? I mean, so is Pocahontas a slur or not? You know, Steve and I were talking about it earlier, and I suppose one way to judge a word for how derisive it is what is the intent of the user. And the president certainly isn't offering praise when he calls Senator Warren Pocahontas.
That would be correct.
Heather Mills is in our studio, executive director of the American Indian Center, located in Chicago. Where are you guys located, by the way?
We're over in the Albany Park neighborhood. We're at 3401 West Ainslie Street.
Is there a neighborhood or side of the city that has a higher concentration of Native Americans?
Historically, it used to be the north side, but just due to relocation and city changing, everyone's dispersed throughout the city now.
Is there a tribe more represented in Chicago, or we heavy with a Illiniwek Indians here or some other tribe or band?
We have quite a few different nations represented at the center, and we have quite a few different folks who participate with us. But we do have quite a few Ho-Chunks, quite a few Oneidas, lots of Ojibwe folks that also do participate with us. And they are the historically or the tribes that were historically located here in the Illinois areas as well.
Mm-hmm. Somebody texted in a moment ago, or no, actually called in, but they hung up. But their comment was that the president was just being sarcastic. He wasn't offering the word Pocahontas up as a slur. It was just sarcasm. What's your reaction to that?
You know, I think with this president, it's difficult to determine what is actually a slur and what's actually sarcasm. I don't think that he really distinguishes between those two.
Yeah, so. I don't know that's a different difference with much of a, what is it, a distinction with much of a difference? It would mm-hmm. seem to me like in that context, if you're going to use that word specifically, you're either going to offer it the way you would prefer it to be offered, and that is in praise for someone's bravery, which really is not the way the word is used anyway, or else it is offered as a slur, and clearly the president doesn't like her, and he calls her Pocahontas. A equals B. I don't know how else you get around that. I don't know what the word sarcasm has to do with that. It's funny, though, because I'm reading Undaunted Courage about Lewis and Clark. You and I were talking about this off the air. Let's just talk about it briefly on the air. So Lewis and Clark travel to Washington State and back. And it was very interesting, the description of the Native American tribes that they encountered along the way. One of whom, I don't think they encountered her, but they brought her for the journey, was Sacagawea. How do you say it?
Sacagawea or Sacagawea. Both are acceptable pronunciations of her name.
Is there any sort of similarity between her life and that of Pocahontas?
You know, there really is. It's interesting to see that Native women have had a history of violence brought towards them. And the same can be said with Sacagawea or Sacagawea, as we know her. She was brought along on the journey, and her job was primarily to interact with the different tribes that Lewis and Clark encountered. And so she did that, but oftentimes she was passed around and abused in lots of different ways. She actually died of a sexually transmitted disease because of some of the interactions that did happen to her along the way.
So she is really a hero of that journey. I mean, it's pretty clear that Lewis and Clark and their 33 men would not have made it to and from without the help of the natives or without the help of women on that journey. It's a point that gets a little lost in the history.
Absolutely. She's quite a big deal to the expedition, and I just so respect what she did and some of her thoughts and some of her ideas, and especially how she helped bring so many of the different tribes together.
Well, I'm going to interview Thomas Jefferson, and I'm going to interview Meriwether Lewis on stage, so I need a little background here, and you've helped me that way, too. Heather, it's nice to meet you in person. Anything else you want to say? I mean, I'm sure you've been thinking about this story a lot longer than we all have. Anything else you just want to say to our audience about this story from yesterday?
I just think it's so important to recognize that Native Americans have a long history in this country, and I too would like to honor the Code Talkers and just say what a remarkable contribution they made to the war and to this country, and I just would like to thank them for their service as well.
Nice to meet you. If there's something we can do for you all down the road, make sure you give us a call too.
Absolutely.